Please turn, if you would, to the book of John, the third chapter. John chapter 3, the message today, of course, will be a topical message. We'll be going to many, many places. I don't expect you to turn to all of them, but you turn to whatever you desire you can turn to. But John chapter 3 will be our beginning verse. We have been studying a particular confession of faith. While confessions do exactly that, confess, we should recognize that not all parts of a confession might be crucial or essential. For example, most confessions contain a statement about the last times, that is, the coming of Christ, etc. While important, I would imagine we all know that perspectives on eschatology are many and varied. Therefore, we might state what we believe about it, but we would grant some leeway on someone else's viewpoint. We might agree to disagree. But on other portions of our declaration, there are absolute essentials. Not too long ago, we dealt with the doctrine of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That truth is non-negotiable. In fact, I don't believe that a person can be saved if they do not believe who Jesus is. In the past two sessions, we have studied the atonement for sin. Recall, I stated that we can judge all religions on the basis of what they believe on the atonement. Now, I believe our subject for today has similar value. We can judge any religion by this tenet. Our topic is grace. Any religion that holds to a heaven and forgiveness of our sin can be tried by this truth. All religions basically break down into one of two categories. Either salvation is by grace or it is by works. Even if a religion was biblically accurate on the atonement, that doesn't mean that they are correct on the application of said atonement. What does the Bible teach? What should we believe? Well, we can continue our study on we believe. And today's topic is what we believe of the grace in the new creation. What we believe of grace in the new creation. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these who are able to be with us today. Our hearts go out to those who would love to be here and cannot due to sickness and providential hindrance. We ask that you bless them, and we ask that you would send healing to those that need it. But we come together today to worship you in spirit and in truth and to study your word once again. And we pray for your direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Give us understanding hearts and minds. Teach us. And we recognize that of all the religions around the world today, that, Lord, they have a concept of how they can approach you, and the vast, vast majority believe they can get to heaven by what they do. Lord, we believe your word teaches that we get to heaven by your grace, and so we thank you for that. Teach us that today. Bless your word. We commit it to you this time, and Lord, we love you. We thank you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The declaration we've been or a confession we've been using, states this of the grace in the new creation. We believe that in order to be saved, sinners must be born again, that the new birth is a new creation in Christ Jesus, that it is instantaneous and not a process, that in the new birth, the one dead in trespasses and sins, and in sins is made a partaker of the divine nature and receives eternal life, the free gift of God. That the new creation is brought about in a manner above our comprehension, solely by the power of the Holy Spirit in connection with divine truth, so as to secure our voluntary obedience to the gospel, that its proper evidence appears in the holy fruits of repentance and faith and newness of life. And the verse references are also following that. By the way, again, that is in the bulletin in the backside of the prayer list. That is the declaration. This is what we concern ourselves with today on the confession, what we believe about the grace of the new birth. So when I've invited you to turn to John chapter 3, for the first thing we want to talk about is that, as this statement declares, is that a person must be born again if he's going to be saved. So the new birth is required. John chapter 3 and in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My dear friend, I don't care what your religious perspective is, if you are not born again according to the Scripture, then you do not have eternal life, and you must be born again, because Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now understand that that phrase, born again, actually is in the original language, means to be born from above. You have to have birth that comes from above. A person that comes through this life must be born from above if he's going to see the kingdom of God. Now, you might raise the question and say, well, why is it that we have to have a new birth? Well, how come we can't do it without the new birth? Well, I'm inserting a few references here, and so I invite you to turn, if you would, over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. These are verses that are not found in the confession. I am inserting these for purpose of discussion. We need the new birth because, first of all, we are blinded. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, notice very carefully what verse 3 and verse 4 says. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The truth is, people who are outside of Jesus Christ, those who are lost, are blind spiritually. And so we need to be born again because, while we're blinded, well, along with these other things, we need to have a change. And that new birth brings about that change. But because we're blind, when we're lost, we need to be born again. Secondly, turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 2. Those who are lost are in bondage. Hebrews chapter 2. And in verse 15, talking about the provision of Christ for us and how he became a man that he might destroy the works of the devil, it says in verse 14. But Hebrews 2:15 says, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Dear sinner friend, I want you to know that you're lost, you're undone, you're in bondage. You're in bondage to sin and under the power of the devil. You're blind and you're in bondage. That's why you need to be born again. Back to Romans chapter 8, if you would, please. Romans chapter 8. We also need a new birth, I submit unto you, not only because we were blind and we were in bondage, but Romans chapter 8, I remind you that you need to be born again because you're an enemy of God. If you're lost, you are an enemy of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says, because the carnal mind, that's the fleshly mind, that's the unsaved mind, all you got to do is read the context, you'll understand that to be very, very clear. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's an enmity at warfare. Those who are lost are at warfare with God. You're enemy of God. And notice that that natural person, that carnal mind, is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You've got to be born again. There has to be a change. Then go back, if you would, to John chapter 3 once again. And of course, I'll be in John, a few of these, especially in chapter 3 itself. But John chapter 3, you need a new birth, number 4, because you're condemned. John 3:18 makes it very clear, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Dear sinner, you say, well, I don't. What do I need to do to go to hell? Well, you don't have to do anything. You're already under condemnation. That's who you are. You're blinded, you're in bondage, you're an enemy of God, you're already under condemnation. And because of that condemnation, you need to be born again. And then if you would, go over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And if you can't buy the other four, you can't escape this one. Verse 5. Fact is, dear sinner friend, if you're lost, you're dead, spiritually dead. Ephesians 2:5 says, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. That word quickened means to be made alive. By grace ye are saved. When a person is lost, you're dead in sin. You need to have life. Where's that life going to come from? It must come from God. By grace you are saved. There is no other way. So the beginning of this confession just simply says that as sinners, all sinners, if they're going to be saved, receive the kingdom of God, they must be born again or must be born from above. That's just not a cliche. I've been born again. My friend, it's an absolute essential. If you do not have life from above, you do not have eternal life. You are not saved. And so our confession deals with the grace in the new birth. So how do we get this new birth? Now that's where the rubber meets the road with that, because then people say, well, you got to be baptized in order to get to heaven. That's how this is going to come about, or you have to take communion, or you have to do this, or live a good life, or treat your neighbor right. All those are works. What do we believe? Well, if you would go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So we find in this declaration, this confession about the new birth is required. The second point of the message is the new birth is a new creation in Christ Jesus. When God saved me, He gave me new life. He gave me I'm a new person in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 makes this very clear. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There was a time that I was lost. There was a time I was dead. I was in bondage, an enemy of God. And God came to me, gave me life, let the light shine out of the darkness, and allowed me to see. And you know what He did? He made me a new person in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Let me read to you a verse reference. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, with the carnal mind, the natural mind, I'm an enemy of God in bondage, etc. But when God gave me eternal life, He took me away from a carnal mind and gave me a spiritual mind. You see, the new nature that is implanted in me. If you're saved today, you have a new nature in you. Any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, if you would, go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. This new birth is a new creation in Christ Jesus. And what I read in chapter 1 and in verse 12, it says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now I'm going to read verse 13 in just a second, but notice that as a Christian now, I am a son of God. I'm a child of God. I'm heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's what happens when God gave me new life. He made me a new person inside. You see, it's a new creation. By the way, as we're talking about this grace and the new birth, look at verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. When a person is born again, how is that produced? Well, it's not by blood. It's not by descendancy. It's not by the will of the flesh. And it's not by the will of man. Who brings about the birth? It says, but of God. God saved me back in 1974, gave me new life in Jesus Christ. He saved me. You say, well, preacher, did you repent and believe? Did you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Did you receive Him as it says in verse 12? Absolutely, but the reason I did so is because of the life that He gave me to do so. You have to make sure you have that in correct order. I was born first, but in conjunction with and not separated from these things of repentance and faith. We'll talk about that as we go through, but it's essential to see that the first thing that must occur, if we're talking about chronology of time, is a birth. But that declaration said it's in conjunction with the truth. But this is what God does, and this is how God does it. In James chapter 1, let me read to you verse 18. James chapter 1, verse 18 says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be the kind of first fruits of his creatures." Of his own will, God begets us. Now, I know that in our society, we hear a great deal about it. Will it make a decision for Christ? A person who's lost needs to repent, needs to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, needs to receive Him, trust Him, whatever kind of expression you want to attach to that. But the truth of the matter is, it's not because I made a simple decision for God. Of His own will, He begat us. It's not the will of the flesh, it's not the will of man, but God gives us birth through His own will, you see. And I know that's offensive to some, but the truth is that I was lost, I was dead, I was blind, I was an enemy of God, I was under condemnation, spiritually dead. What in me could do any of that if God doesn't move? Nothing. Aren't you glad God moves? Aren't you glad God convicts? Aren't you glad that God draws? Now notice very carefully as we go through this confession, we recognize that the new birth is required and that the new birth is a new creation in Christ Jesus. I mean, I'm not everything I ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. But that next phrase, and I think it's necessary for us to understand, and let me read it to you once again, that in the new birth, the one dead in trespasses and in sins is made a partaker of the divine nature and receives eternal life, the free gift of God. For this, go back to Ephesians chapter 2 once again. And we looked at verse 5. We'll look at verse 1 this time. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul writing to the saved at Ephesus, he says, "And you hath he quickened," or made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now verse 2 and verse 3 will explain why it is they needed to have new life and the description of what they were when they were lost, because this is what they used to be, 2 and 3 it says. But verse 1 he says, "You've been quickened, you've been made alive." And I'm thankful that I was dead in trespasses and sins, but the Lord came to me and made me alive. Let me read to you 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. "This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." How am I going to find the life that I need? That life is found in God. I can't generate it. This church can't generate it, by the way, and you can't generate it yourself. If you're lost, you need life. Where are you going to get that life? You're only going to get it from God. God is the one that must give you spiritual life. And this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life. So eternal life is a gift of God, isn't it? Is a gift earned or deserved? Or is a gift that's it's not merited, right? What is the gift of God? See, the gift of God is eternal life. So if I have to do something to earn it, then it's not a gift, it's a payment. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. A few pages to the right from Ephesians. Colossians chapter 2. We're brought from death unto life. Verse 13 says, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all your trespasses." In order for a person to be saved, they have to be made alive. They have to have new life in Christ. And so if we're saved, we have that life. We have been quickened. Now, a very familiar text. I don't know if you want to turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 23 or not. You might have it memorized, and so you might not want to look at it. But Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is" what? "Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Where are we going to get that eternal life? It's through Jesus Christ our Lord. How can we have that life? It's a gift of God. And so we are, the new birth is that one has been made alive who had been dead in trespasses and sins. When we're made alive, we are made partaker of the divine nature. Thus we receive eternal life. That's the confession. And it is indeed the free gift of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 is a related verse here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, once again in verse 6. Says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You remember we were in these verses not too long ago when we were talking about the reason why we needed to be born again. One of the reasons is because we were blind, spiritually blind. And if our gospel be hid, we read in verse 3, it's hid to them that are lost. Satan hath blinded the minds that are lost, we read in verse 4. But I'm so glad that verse 6 says that, well, God commanded the light to shine out of the darkness. God is the one that turns us from blindness unto sight, from darkness unto light. And he does so by his grace, not because of something that we've accomplished. Salvation is a gift of God. A gift of God. The confession lists a verse reference, Luke chapter 5, verse 27, verse 28, which is an example of Levi. Don't turn over there. It's just a matter of Levi was called to by the Lord, and he left everything and followed after him. Salvation is not a process. Salvation is instantaneous. I do invite you to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And I don't want to be misunderstood here, because the Bible is very clear that a person must repent, must believe, and trust or receive or whatever kind of term you want to place on that. But we can't do it apart from God working in our hearts and giving us life by His Spirit. But if He works in our hearts and gives us life by His Spirit, we will repent, we will believe, and we will trust. We will receive, however you want to express it. And 1 John 5, 1 tells us this. If you're going to be saved, it says, whosoever, verse 1, 1 John 5, 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. If you truly do believe in who Jesus Christ truly is, and in His person and His work and so forth, then you are born of God. Isn't that what we need to be, is born of God? How are we born of God? It wasn't through eating communion or baptism, it's by the Holy Spirit. And we'll prove that as we go along, but we have believed. So I'm not submitting unto you that God will save you, but then you never believe. And I've run into people down through the years that kind of had that kind of concept, you know. Well, God saves whom He wants. I'll tell you, if He saves you, you will believe. It's in conjunction with, remember, the confession itself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, go back over there if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And in verse 19, you know, when you're saved, you're also reconciled to God. Put back right with Him. While you're lost, you're out of joint, right? You're an enemy. You oppose Him. But when you're saved, you're back right with Him. And 2 Corinthians 5, we read in 17 that we're new creatures. In verse 19, he says, "To wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto Him, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." As a Christian, you have been reconciled to God. You've been made right with God. Now, how does this work? We submit unto you, according to the statement in summary, it says that this new birth is instantaneously brought unto us, and we're brought from death unto life. How does that happen? I submit unto you, and we certainly believe, go to John chapter 3, that it is by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is not up to me to convince you, to talk you into believing or talk you into making a profession or repeating a prayer or whatever. I can do that all day long, but I'll tell you, if God is not working in your heart, if God does not give you life, you can make that confession all you want and you can repeat all the prayers I ever offer unto you. You're still lost. You're still dead because you're still dead in trespasses and sins. you need life from above. If God doesn't give life from above, then none of that's going to be effectual. But when God does give life from above, you will repent, you will believe. But the only way we can have life from above, if it's from above, we can't get it from here, can we? We have to get it from above. And how are we going to get it from above? It's through the Holy Spirit. So you're back in John chapter 3, and Jesus has spoke to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again, did he not? Nicodemus converses with him. Pick it up there in verse 6. Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Absolutely essential. Sinner friend, you must be born from above. What does he say then in verse 8? The wind blows where it listeth, or where it desires. And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. He's talking to Nicodemus, say you got to be born from above. How is it you're going to be born from above? It's only by the power of the Spirit. Right? The Spirit must make me alive. The Spirit must make you alive. If you're saved today, I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit gave you life. And that's that new life from above. Now, he uses the example of the wind. Very windy today. It's kind of cold. It's cold and the wind, it's a little bit bitter, wind chill. You go, whoo, and you go outside. The wind blows where it desires. You don't know where it comes. You don't know where it's going. But you can see the effect because you can watch the leaves blow across the parking lot. And you can feel the coldness on your face from one direction as opposed to another. But the wind blows where it desires, does it not? And it says that thou hearest the sound thereof, but you can't tell where it comes and whither it's going. He says, and so is everyone that is born of the Spirit. The Spirit of God is the one that gives new life in Christ. And we don't know where he came from, we don't know where he's going, and we don't know who's next, but when we know this, but you can see the evidence when he gives it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So back in 1974, God gave me new life. Changed my life forever. Well, how do you know that to be true? Well, just like you can tell I don't know where it came from or where it goes, but I can tell where the wind goes by the leaves and so forth. I know what God did in my life. Are you saved today? It's because God gave you life by the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, if you will, to 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read to you 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22 and verse 23. Peter's writing and he says, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. By the way, if you're saved, you've purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit. You've responded, did you not? An unfeigned love of the brethren, he says, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. He goes on to say, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. It's not something that you do. Well, I joined a church, and so I have eternal life. No, you don't. Well, I've been baptized, and that washed away my sin. You don't have eternal life. That's not how life comes. You treat your neighbor right and give to the church and live a good life. Well, you ought to treat your neighbor right and live a good life and give to the church and so forth. But that's not going to get you to heaven. How does new life come? It comes by the work of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's where life comes from. Not by something that you do and something that you generate. So I hope it's abundantly clear when we think about this statement today that the new birth is something that it's something that God works in us. The title of the point was of grace in the new creation. I have new life in Christ because of God's grace. That's the important factor. Now, in the last point I want to make mention unto you, and I need to hasten along, go, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. As the phrase tells us in our lesson, this will be evidenced by repentance and faith. The declaration or the confession says this, that its proper evidence appears in the holy fruits of repentance and faith and newness of life. In other words, if you're going to be born from above, or if God makes you born from above, you will repent, you will believe, trust, receive, and you'll even follow God in obedience. You will. If somebody says that they've been born again, but they've never repented, never believed, and don't follow God, they've not been born again. And we believe this to be a true statement. I submit unto you that repentance is an essential key. That's not mentioned much in our society anymore. People don't like to talk about repentance. But the Bible makes it very clear. I've asked you to turn to Luke chapter 24. Let me read to you Luke 5:32, where this Jesus says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Dear sinner friend, if you're going to be saved, you must repent. You say, but I can't repent until he moves in my heart. Well, that's exactly right. But when he moves in your heart, you will repent. You can't be saved except by repenting, can you? It works together, doesn't it? It's instantaneous. Luke 24, verse 47. Notice what Jesus has said, that it was necessary for him to suffer. Verse 47 says, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Is it wrong for us to preach and not preach repentance? It absolutely is an error, isn't it? If we preach, we preach remission of sin, but we preach repentance. Will you repent? In Acts chapter 20, look at verse 21. Acts chapter 20. Keep a finger in Luke. Acts chapter 20, verse 21. Paul talking about his ministry says he testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What will I say to you that are lost? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'll say unto you. Repent and believe. Luke chapter 13, verse 3 says, and Jesus makes it very clear here, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. An evangelistic approach that says that you can get to heaven without repentance is a false evangelism. True evangelism in the Scripture must include repentance. Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so, but not only must you repent, you must also believe. So if you turn away, you're going to turn toward. You're going to turn toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Over in Acts chapter 2, and in verse 41, Peter preaching to them on the day of Pentecost, and there many were saved, and it says in verse 41, then they gladly received his word, were baptized. And that same day were added unto him about 3,000 souls. What happened? They heard the word, they repented, they believed, and then they followed the Lord in baptism. There was a response, wasn't there? Look over to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, verse 30. The Philippian jailer. It says in verse 30, he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? What did Paul tell them? Go join a church? Get baptized? Treat your neighbor right? And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And it says, they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them that same hour of the night and washed away their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Do you know why? Because they believed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he repented, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they followed the Lord in scriptural baptism. Go, if you would, to the book of Galatians chapter 5. It's not necessary to multiply references. I'm just saying unto you, if you're going to truly be born again, when God gives you life, it will be in association with the evidences of that life, which will be repentance and faith. And then there will be obedience that will be following after that. So I've asked you to turn to Galatians chapter 5, where we deal with the fruit of the Spirit. If you're saved and a new creature in Christ Jesus, there will be a difference, won't there? And you'll see evidences of the Spirit that lives within. You see, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of him. None of his, Romans tells us. And if you have the Christ in your heart, then you'll see evidence of that. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If I'm saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in my heart, and I will evidence some of that fruit. I will. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what the Spirit will work in us and through us. Then the three other references, and I'm finished. Go, if you would, to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. So I submit unto you, we talk about, we believe, of the grace and the new creation. You must be born again. This is a birth that comes down from above, and it's only by grace. It works instantaneously. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. But when he does so in conjunction with the truth. And with these other fruits will be very evident, repentance and faith and response. Now, why do we say that it's of grace? How do we say that these things are of grace? I've asked you to turn to Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul, dealing with the issue of works or grace. He makes this statement, and it's just so clear, to me anyway. Verse 6. If by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more of grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. There it is. And yet you'll still have some people who will say, well, you get saved by grace, but then it's up to you to work and to hang on and to cling on and make it to the end. They're mixing works and faith. That cannot be. My friend, salvation is either by grace or salvation is either by works. One of the two, it cannot be both. And Paul says it's either by grace or it's by works. And if it's of grace, it is no more of work. And if it is work, it is no more of grace. How are you getting to heaven today, my friend? What do you believe is your access into the kingdom of God? Well, I've lived a good life. That's a work. I've joined the church. That's a work. Have you repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? That's faith. It's grace that was worked in your heart. You see the difference? So if you would, go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, verse 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you've been born again today, you have new life in God, how does that come? By grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. That faith didn't come from you, that was a gift of God given to you. And it's not of works, lest any man should boast. We believe in grace of the new creation. So I've closed with this last verse, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, where Paul wrote to Titus and he says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I am saved today because God in his mercy gave me life, and in conjunction with giving me life, he gave me the graces of repentance and faith. I repented, I believed, I trusted, I received him, however you want to define that, but it's because God moved in me, and God brought me from death unto life in order for that to happen. And all of that was instantaneous. It just worked together when God chose to save me. And my friend, if you're saved today, I believe with all my heart that's the way that you're saved. And if you're saved, you're saved by grace. There is no other way. We can talk about the atonement. How are you going to receive that atonement? Well, I've got to join a church. No, sir. I'm going to give money to the church. I'm going to burn candles. That's not going to bring the atonement. If you're going to be born, you're going to be born from above by the Spirit. He's the only one that can do it. So, sinner friend, what you need to do is you need to turn your heart to God, and you need to cry out for him for mercy and call upon him to give you new life in Christ. You need to believe the word, repent, and trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you do it? I'd like for us to stand. Aren't you glad for grace? I'm thankful for grace because you know why? If it wasn't of grace, then it'd be my work. And how do I know it's going to be fulfilled? How do I know it's going to be completed? I'm glad it's not up to me. I'm glad it's God saves us by his grace. Father, we commit this time to you today. Lord, overcome any misspeaking that I might have said or anything that might have cluttered up the issue. Let these people know the truth of the word of God. Salvation is by grace through faith without works. And we know that's a gift from you. Thank you so much for saving us. We pray for the lost that they might be saved. We pray that you would move in their hearts by your Spirit. Only you can do it. And we give you the honor and the glory. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 327.